There are more and more women on the force, but Eva thinks of all of them as her guys, her boys. She sends them into all that brokenness and then prays they come back in one piece. Mostly they do. Sometimes they don't. And then she's sending more of her guys, her boys, into the broken places. Literally, sometimes, because her husband was a cop, and now her two grown sons are cops. So she knows that life. She knows that world. Eva knows that you can come out of it, but you always come out broken. Even in moonlight, the river looks dirty. Jimmy McNabb wouldn't have it any other way. He loves his dirty river and his dirty town. New Orleans. He grew up and still lives in the Irish Channel just a few blocks away from where he stands now, behind an unmarked car in the parking lot by the First Street Wharf. Him and Angelo and the rest of the team are gearing up. Vests, helmets, shotguns, flashbang grenades. Like a SWAT team, except Jimmy forgot to invite those boys to this party. Like he forgot to invite the harbor police or anyone except for his own team in the narcotics unit of the Special Investigations Unit. This is a private party. Jimmy's party. Harbor's gonna be pissed, Angelo says as he climbs into his vest. Jimmy says, we'll let them in on the cleanup. They don't like being janitors, Angelo says. He fastens the Velcro across his chest. I feel stupid in all this shit.
You look stupid too, Jimmy says. Friggin' vest makes his partner look like the Michelin man.
Angelo is slightly built. He went on a crash diet of bananas and milkshakes to make weight for his department entrance physical, and he hasn't gained a pound since. Thin. Like the pencil mustache he thinks makes him look like Billy D, and doesn't. Caramel-skinned, sharp-featured. Angelo Carter grew up in the Ninth Ward, as black gets. Jimmy's vest feels tight. He's a big man, 6'4", with the broad chest and shoulders of his Irish ancestors who came to New Orleans to dig the canal locks with pickaxes and shovels. He rarely had to brawl as a street cop, even in the quarter, because his sheer size and look were enough to intimidate the most hostile drunk into a sudden change of heart. But when Jimmy did have to go, it would take a whole squad of brother officers to pull him off. He once wrecked an entire crew of bubbas who came down from Baton Rouge and got rude in Sweeney's, Jimmy's neighborhood bar. They went in vertical and loud, went out horizontal and silent. Jimmy McNabb had been one tough street cop like his daddy before him. Big John McNabb was a legend. Both his sons had no choice to be anything but cops, not that either wanted to be anything else. Now Jimmy looks around at the rest of his team. He judges that they're tense, but not too tense. Got just the right edge to them. You want that edge. Jimmy's feeling it himself, the adrenaline starting to course through his bloodstream. He likes it. His mom, Eva, says that her son always liked the juice, whether it's adrenaline, beer, whiskey, or a horse race at Jefferson Downs or a bottom of the ninth at bat in the police league.
Jimmy likes the juice.
Jimmy knows she's right. She usually is. She thinks so, too. Jimmy and his little brother have an expression for it. The last time Eva was wrong. Like, the last time Eva was wrong, dinosaurs roamed the earth. Or, the last time Eva was wrong, God took the seventh day off. Or Danny's personal favorite, the last time Eva was wrong, Jimmy had a steady girlfriend, which was, like, yeah, eighth grade.
Jimmy's a pitcher, Eva once said, but he prefers to play the field.
Funny, Eva, Jimmy thinks. You're a hoot. He and Danny always refer to their mom as Eva, in the third person, that is, never to her face. Just like they call their dad John. It started when Jimmy was maybe 7. He and Danny were being punished by a lockdown for some infraction involving a baseball and a broken window. Jimmy said, man, Eva was really pissed, and it stuck. Now, Jimmy glances over at Wilmer to check on him. Suazo looks kind of